I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. It's good to have you back. We're launching a new series today. It's called 50 States. And here's the team behind the series, Alex Newman, Jason Margolis, and Andrea Crossan. And Andrea, you're the producer behind this project. What is the plan?
So we are calling this project 50 States, America's Place in a Shrinking World. And what we will literally be doing is stories from 50 states of the Union. We're looking at large urban areas. We're also going to be going to small towns that you need to zoom into on your Google map to find.
And why now?
Well, I wanted to create a series where listeners could be a part of it. I feel like quite often it's a one-way conversation. We tell people what's going on and we hope that they learn something from it or they enjoy it. What I wanted to do with 50 States is have people tell us what is happening where they are. And so we can maybe have a national conversation about it. Things like trade, globalization, immigration, you name it, we are on it. And when I say we, I specifically mean reporter Jason Margolis, who I am sending out on the road, and he may never see his wife and kids again.
Yeah, it's just part of the job, isn't it, Jason? So where have you been?
Hold on. So Andrea said that we're going to involve a lot of station reporters so we can incorporate people who are actually in these states. So I'm going to be at home with my wife and kids, but I have been to a few states already, and we'll go to a few more.
All right. So where have you been so far, Jason?
So I've been in North Dakota, Iowa, Maine, Ohio. Notice any theme here? I'm in the
northern part,
yes,
of the country.
I'm in the northern. I'm not stupid. It's summertime. It's too hot down south for me.
And what's been the thing that stood out for you?
Well, I think each of these communities, and I've been to smaller communities that have kind of been left behind by globalization, if you will. And there's this push-pull of people who are looking back, not trying to recreate the past exactly as it was, but trying to tap into that magic again, these once prosperous places. And then there are people saying, we need to move on. We need to reinvent ourselves. And it's a very, very tricky, difficult thing to do.
So listeners, on top of the possibility that the 50 States team will come to your town, you can also learn some really cool stuff about where you actually live. And Alex Newman, you've come up with some digital wizardry here as part of the 50 States team, an online tool. Tell us how this thing works.
Well, first I need you to choose a county, Marco.
Okay, I'm going to say Orange County, a place I used to live in North Carolina, because there are a lot of Orange counties.
There are a lot of Orange counties. Well, so the idea is that we can look up any county in the United States here, and so if we look at what happened in Orange County, we're trying to show change in America. And so the top part of this graphic shows you simple median household income, but mm-hmm. we're comparing that county against the state it's from and the United States itself. So you can see that in Orange County, North Carolina, between 1989 and 2015, there was a large increase in median income, 10%, but overall income fell 1.2% in North Carolina. So if we're going to talk about Orange County, North Carolina in the context of the state, things look like they're doing okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, talk about America's place in a shrinking world. If you look at manufacturing, down.
Right. If you go further down, you can take a look at how certain industries have grown or changed over that same period of time. And here, there's a 15% drop in manufacturing in North Carolina overall. I mean, that's a long period of time, and America has changed a lot. And so that's how this tool works.
Alex, remind us where we can actually see and use this online tool.
This will be up on PRI.org. The other thing that's on the same webpage on PRI is a form where if you have a story idea and you want us to come visit your state and your town, you can write us and we will put it on our list.
Wow, fantastic. All right. Thank you all very much. And now, Jason's first story from 50 States, this one from Newton, Iowa.
About a decade ago, 2,000 people were building washers and dryers at the old Maytag manufacturing facility in Newton. The cavernous building is the size of 7 Walmarts. I walk around with Jim Scuddy, a burly man who stands 6'8".
Did you work here?
Yes.
What did you do for Maytag?
I was a machine repairman.
And you worked in this building?
Yes.
After 21 years with Maytag, Scuddy lost his job in 2006 when Whirlpool bought Maytag and shifted manufacturing to other states and Mexico.
How was that for you?
Just moved on, you know. Got to do what you got to do.
Today, a handful of tenants rent warehouse space here, and Scuddy manages the property. I ask him if it's strange to be back working in the old Maytag factory.
It used to bother me at first, but anymore, you know. Pretty good. Well, it'll bother me August 17th because that's when I would have had my 30 years in.
So why will it bother you on August 17th?
Because that's when I could have retired. And Maytag had you had your full medical benefits and a nice pension when you retired with 30 years in.
When do you think you'll retire now?
Probably never.
Now, at this point, you might be thinking, okay, here's another profile of a dying manufacturing city and the people that got left behind. Wrong. Not Newton, Iowa.
The unemployment rate in 2009 was 9.9%, and today it's a 3.5%.
That's Frank Liebel, executive director of the Newton Development Corporation. It's his job to attract new businesses to the area. Since Maytag left, community leaders have helped attract a lot of new employers with a simple pitch. We're ready to work.
You know, when you lose that many people out of a community, all of a sudden companies say, wow, I'm going to come to Newton, Iowa because they got the infrastructure, they got the buildings, and they got the workforce.
But a lot of American cities could make that pitch. What's different about Newton? For one thing, the population has held stable. The buildings and streets are clean and well-maintained. So how did it get back on its feet when so many other small manufacturing cities throughout the Midwest hit hard times and shriveled up? An Arizona-based company that makes windmill blades, TPI Composites, chose to open a factory in Newton. Amy Levitt shows me around.
The blades are made in two halves.
The blades stretch 187 feet long. TPI pumps out 27 of them a week here. Levitt says TPI was attracted by engaged local leaders and the incentives they offered.
When TPI was looking to expand in the Midwest, Newton gave some tax incentives, some abatements for...
Since coming to Newton a decade ago, TPI has grown from a handful of workers to more than 1,100. Mindy Pollock cuts fiberglass for the windmill blades. We spoke away from the factory floor. She'd been at Maytag for 22 years when she was let go.
I've seen grown men crying that day.
She was out of work for 8 months and took advantage of some job retraining for laid-off workers.
I actually took a computer class, just the basic computer class.
Did that help you or no?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The older you get, the less you know about that kind of the technology, and so it did help me.
She now uses a computer every day at her new job. Now, at this point, you may be thinking, I see. So this is a story about a manufacturing city that's figured things out. Not exactly that either. Economist Dave Swenson at Iowa State University says Newton has indeed stopped its decline, but it hasn't fully recovered. Jobs building windmill blades are great, and TPI has helped Newton's job base tremendously, but those jobs don't pay as well. In 2001, the going rate for manufacturing work in Newton was 37% above Iowa's state average.
In 2015, it was about 20% below the state average. And so the standard of living for the workforce has gone down measurably.
And that job retraining program that helped Mindy Pollock find work building windmill blades? Classes aren't for everyone. When Jim Scuddy was laid off, he and many others said, no thanks.
I had enough of school when I was in it.
It's hard to blame Scuddy for not wanting to go back. Economist Dave Swenson says more education and learning new trades are good things.
But thinking you can just come on in and then say, okay, we're going to train you to be this as opposed to that, there are so many failures. And by the time somebody does get trained in something, oftentimes it's already too late. That sector isn't hiring anymore. We're really, really bad at figuring out what the next thing is.
There's also the problem of too much hope that life will somehow go back to normal. Many union manufacturing jobs of the 20th century required little education, but offered good pay and benefits. Swenson says too many of these Midwestern cities and politicians are trying to recreate that past.
Their mindset is we just need to replace these jobs with manufacturing, make America great again, reemploy workers in the manufacturing sector. But it's not as simple as that.
Still, Donald Trump's message caught on like wildfire around Newton. Barack Obama won this area in 2008 and 2012. Trump demolished Hillary Clinton here last November. I asked Swenson and his colleague, economist Liesl Ethington, if President Trump or any president can bring back manufacturing jobs to the heartland.
No, and I think about the years that we've seen individual communities trying to do it. We've seen states trying to do it. So it's not like nobody has thought of it before. When you think about 20, 30, 40 years of economic development strategies, it's the same thing. It's just got new words attached to it.
Still, the economists at Iowa State say that doesn't mean you just throw your hands up in the air and give up. They say industrial cities need to look forward, not back, and diversify their economies. Amanda Price with the Newton Chamber of Commerce says her city has embraced that message.
we're trying to stay ahead of the game so that things like Maytag don't happen again. I hate to say it, but the city put all their eggs in one basket for so many years.
But why wouldn't they do that? Life was good in Newton for a long, long time. And Maytag was a good corporate citizen. It paid for things like community parks, the local aquatic center, and the auditorium. A lot of people in Newton remain bitter that Maytag left that all behind. Price and I walked around Newton's downtown square, coffee shops, stores, and restaurants. No boarded up windows. It's not Paris, but it's not bad. Price wants her city to move past Maytag emotionally. She says when the company left, it was like somebody died.
It was. It literally was. We've actually talked about having a major community event where we actually have a funeral and we bury Maytag for good.
For the World, Jason Margolis, Newton, Iowa.
Have you thought it through? What would you bury?
I'm not entirely sure.
An entire Maytag washer. Yeah. We would bury it in the ground.
People could bring their Maytag stuff if they still have something and just let it go.
That was the first of our stories in our new series, 50 States, America's Place in a Shrinking World. Thanks to the good people of Newton, Iowa, for welcoming us and providing our first stop on this journey. If you want to be a part of our series, go to PRI.org to tell us more about your story and your state. Or just tweet us using the hashtag 50 States. That's 50 States.